Good afternoon, Prof.
Good afternoon, madam.
Well, you heard us. Do you think this is the best way to deal with corruption in the public sector?
Well, thank you, madam. Let me do a small correction. My name is Justice Bawole. I am the head of Department for Public Administration and Health Services Management. It is within the University of Ghana Business School. I am not the head of the business school.
Thank you very much, Prof.
Yeah, so the issue about the Auditor General's intention to block salaries and surcharge people who are found culpable, in my view, it's the very basic in the processes of trying to avoid corruption. And I say it's very basic because we know how the enterprise of corruption takes place. If somebody was getting a $10 million contract or more, and you block his $5,000 salary, does he lose anything significant? No. Would that discourage somebody from engaging in it? I think no. But is it a good thing to do? Yes, I think it's a good thing to do. Because that way we are holding people responsible, and that way we may be able to prevent other people from engaging in that.
Well, Prof, if you're saying that blocking the salaries of these public servants is basic, what stringent measures would you prefer that we institute to curb this canker of corruption in our public service?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that the Auditor General knows, just like all of us know, that the amounts of monies that are involved often in these kind of deals are huge sums of monies. And so, whereas it is important to block salaries, I think that we should not immediately indicate that we will not engage in other things. For example, that people could get imprisoned for malfeasance, that people could get their properties that they have acquired in the past confiscated by the state because they have engaged in inappropriate behavior, that people could get other hefty sanctions as exist in somewhere. So, for example, one of the things that we haven't done in this country is to actually name and shame people who engage in corruption. And there are a broad spectrum of sanctions that we can actually use as a basis of retrieving resources and making it unattractive for people to engage in corruption. But as I say, it is okay to start from somewhere. And where is that? Well, we block your salary and make sure that you account for whatever monies you are supposed to have used for the state. Well, but beyond that, I think that we need to go forward. Even for trying to retrieve resources that have been stolen, many times you will not get. Because the enterprise of corruption is such that one person is used as a lead, but there are several other people around, and these several other people get a chunk of whatever eventually the booty is. So if you were to target and arrest one person, that person will not or may not have all of the money that was even stolen still with them. So even if you are retrieving, you will probably just be able to get a half of it. And that means that we need to not just target the people who are the frontliners, but also target all of the other actors who are within the enterprise and who are accomplices to the people who may be found guilty.
Well, finally, before you go, the Auditor General has been in the news in recent times, asking for some powers like prosecutorial powers to expose malfeasance in the public service. Do you think that if that office is properly empowered, they can fight corruption in the public service?
Well, I am not a lawyer, so usually I would not want to engage in the realms of speculation. So I don't know exactly what that means in terms of the legal position of his office.
Do you think that the Auditor General has enough powers to fight corruption?
Well, in the past, we have seen the Auditor General's report presented to Parliament, and then it gets to Parliament, and it gets, watered down. Nothing happens. So I can understand his frustration in wanting to move forward So if the Auditor General is assured, based on their own investigation, that somebody was culpable in engaging in some loss to the state, I think it's okay for the Auditor General to proceed and go to court to be able to justify why they think so. But I think it is also the case that there are other state institutions, for example, Yoko, for example, now we have the Special Prosecutor, and I heard the Special Prosecutor and the Auditor General himself talking about the collaboration that is going to be between his office and the office of the Special Prosecutor. And so even if he didn't get those powers, good collaboration between these two institutions could mean that we would see a lot more cases go to court, in this case being pursued by the Special Prosecutor rather than the Auditor General. And so I think he will not have anything to lose now, especially if the Special Prosecutor gets to work and work in the way that we expect it to work.
Thank you very much. That was Professor Justice Bawule of the University of Ghana.